Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life, your busy schedule, to listen to the broadcast. Today is Monday, September 16th, 2019. We are officially into the fall season, but the temperatures are still very summer-like here in the 90s where I live in Florissant. So summer is still with us, and I'm so glad. I am more of a summer person anyway than a fall person. A long story about that. I won't bore you with the details. Today I want to talk to you about the subject of women's rights in Iran, and particularly the subject of the ban against women to attend soccer games that has been in place since the revolution in 1979 when the sexes were segregated. But in particular this morning, I want to dedicate my program to a very, very precious person in Iran, 29-year-old Sahar Khodayari. And her story is not unsimilar from other stories. Here is a 29-year-old girl whose dream was to attend a soccer game back in March. She knew because of the ban, I can't go in. So, like many other Iranian women, she dressed herself up to look like a man, got into the entrance, and security stopped her, noticed that she really wasn't a man, and then turned around and arrested her. After a lengthy process in the courts, she was sentenced to 6 months in prison. Sahar, like many, many other Iranian women, refused to accept that verdict. And as a woman who is tired of being discriminated against because of her gender, stood outside the courthouse on September 2nd and set herself on fire. It was just a week ago that she died of her severe burns over 90% of her body. She has become a martyr. The soccer teams across the world are putting armbands on with the color blue because that was her favorite color. It was the color of her favorite team back in March that was playing here in Iran. I want to give you about a four-minute report on Sahar and come back and talk about her case. Let's listen to that right now.
FIFA will send a delegation to Iran following the death of a female football fan who set herself on fire after being arrested for attending a match. The world soccer governing body is under pressure to sanction Iran after Sahar Khodjari, dubbed the Blue Girl, died on Monday. The dramatic case sparked outrage and is quickly becoming a symbol of women's fight for more freedom in Iran. Euronews' Annalise Borges reports.
This week, a tragic story out of Iran sparked outcry all over the world. 29-year-old Sahar Khodjari died in a Tehran hospital after setting herself on fire over fears of being convicted for what Iranian authorities consider a crime: watching football. This is the stadium Sahar was trying to get into to watch her favorite football team play back in March. She was disguised as a man to try and bypass a ban put in place shortly after the 1979 Islamic Revolution that forbids women from accessing stadiums during men's sporting events. I asked Tayebeh Siavashi, one of 17 women represented in the 290-seat Iranian parliament, why, despite the sporting ban not being written into law, women are still not allowed to watch football events.
When it comes to cinema, theatre, music concerts, and other public events, both men and women go together. We watch, we participate. There's no segregation, and no problem arises. But what they argue is that as a result of the excitement that sports brings, they can't anticipate what may happen.
Siavashi says the problem is other countries' interpretation of the situation.
I really don't understand the concerns of foreign communities about Iran. They come with a cost for Iranian society and Iranian women. Foreign interference in women's issues is harmful. Until a time when Iranian society itself comes to an agreement, nothing will happen. Issues such as hijabs and stadiums are cultural issues which cannot be solved by foreign communities. I believe that if anything is going to happen, it must come from inside.
But how can change come from within when acting for change can put women in harm's way? Not wearing a hijab is a punishable offense. Protesting against it can get you in jail. A story Yalda Moayeri knows all too well. Her pictures depict everyday Iran, the good and the bad. She asked us not to show certain images for fear of the repercussion among Iranian authorities. Despite the pressure, she says she is hopeful for the role Iranian women will play in decades to come.
I can say that the power of women has increased now they belong to the educated class of the society. Despite all their limitations and deprivations, they are moving forward and overcoming these limitations, albeit with a lot of difficulties. They will certainly play a noticeable part in the future of Iran.
But not everyone here is that optimistic. This woman we met at a skate park says even riding a bike can get her into problems. When asked if Sahar Khodjari's death could trigger change beyond football stadiums, she said she didn't think so.
She will be forgotten. They will say it was her own fault. She had a problem. I feel that her case will be closed. Poor girl. Only wanted to watch a soccer game. They didn't let her. Like 1,000 other people, she was killed, and there will be no follow-up. Nothing will happen.
What kind of Iran will emerge if women get what they want? While some in the country may not want to know the answer, others hope things will change for women here and believe they can be the actors of that change. Annelise Borges in Iran's capital, Tehran, for Euronews.
It's incredibly distressful and sad, gender discrimination in Iran. But of course, this is the result of the teachings of the Quran and the Hadith. And I've written extensively on that in my book, The Cross in the Desert. The news of Dear Sahar's death was reported by Persian news outlets and said that she had died a few days earlier, actually, than what was reported, and was secretly buried without her family's knowledge. Can you imagine that? Iran has a long practice of denying the family members of deceased people deemed a security threat access to their bodies and conducting secret burials to avoid publicity. Can you imagine the pain of this family that wanted to tell their own daughter goodbye, but because she was a security threat and there might be reprisals or protests, the government took it in their own hands to have her secretly buried. Now, the Khodiari family has been threatened and pressured not to speak to the news media. What's going to happen as a result of this is the FIFA, that is the soccer's governing body, has warned Iran to lift the ban on women attending international soccer matches by October 10th, when the country's national team, among the top in Asia, is to host a World Cup qualifying game. Let me tell you the puppet game they play with the FIFA. Back in, I think it was 2013, when women were protesting again, there was a temporary selective allotted a limited number of women allowed to attend the games. This was done by the government simply to get the pressure off of themselves put on by the FIFA. So they allowed certain women to attend matches in 2013. And of course, that was selective. Mostly they were relatives of players or government officials. It was just a big show. And of course, that's how they manipulate the FIFA. In conclusion, I want to let you know that what we can do here on the internet, hashtag Blue Girl, wherever you go, take my podcast, take my radio program, play it, share it with as many friends as you can. Use the hashtag on Twitter, Blue Girl, and talk about Sahar. She has become a symbol of the oppressed women who cannot attend soccer games in Iran, or football as they call it, simply because of their gender. And if you're like me, you are so tired of the gender discrimination against women. And because of hopelessness and despair, some women, like Sahar, who was battling bipolar depression and some issues, she decided to make a public display of her protest by setting herself on fire, a tragedy so horrible. Now, in relation to this story, Iran is going to arrest, they claim, an Iranian female actress for sympathizing with Sahar. And while the International Football Federation is set to dispatch a delegation to Tehran to look into the case of a female football fan, Sahar, who killed herself, the Islamic Republic has issued a warrant to arrest a movie superstar in Iran for supporting the victim. Now, Fars has reported that a warrant has been issued for Saba Kamali. She's a famous movie and theater actress. Saba had published a post on her Instagram page that, according to Fars, the prosecutor has found insulting to the third Shiite imam, Hussein Ali. Now, in her post, Kamali rhetorically said that Sahar had suffered more ruthless treatment than the imam and his companions, who are considered martyrs by Shiites when they were killed in Karbala, Iraq, in the 7th century. Now, hours later, she removed the post and explained that her remarks on Instagram were merely a personal and intimate dialogue with the third imam, but a few biased and bigoted individuals misunderstood it and complained. So she said, "I removed the post." So sad. Again, we can support the memory, remembering Blue Girl. However you want to write it, share my podcast, share my radio program, and put it out there and let people know how you are outraged at the way this government treats women, that they cannot go to see a football game. Now, just in passing, I want to mention to you, I now have the Cross in the Desert podcast on Anchor Podcast. And so you can share my radio program or my podcast or both, and let's talk about Sahar and the ban against women in Iran. Just because of their gender, they are banned from sporting events. This brings me to the issue of the treatment of women in Iran. And recently I posted something on my Facebook page. It's from my book, Broken Yet Beautiful. It's entitled Lifeless Forms of Plastic. What's that all about? Well, that has everything to do with the women in Iran. That has everything to do with the way Sahar was treated, that forced her and put her in a desperate situation to commit self-immolation or kill herself like she did. One of the traditions of my Iranian friends as they prepare for the celebration of Nowruz, the Persian New Year, is shopping for new clothes. It's every spring. It's just around the corner. And it's time for new beginnings, and one of those new beginnings is expanding one's wardrobes. Well, I have a dear friend. Her name is Atifi. She lives in Tehran, and she has written articles I've posted in my blogs and on my Facebook and in my book, The Cross in the Desert. She talks all about the treatment of women in Iran. She's actually featured on my latest podcast episode on Anchor, The Cross in the Desert. Now, every Nowruz, she gets excited. She leaves home to go shopping at the local clothing store in preparation for the Persian New Year. Well, one year, a few years ago, she texted me. I was in the bank on my job, and she says, "You will not believe this." And she shared with me this story. While she was browsing around in the clothing store, she noticed Iranian security officers confronting the store owner. Later on, Atifi discovered that the security officers had found the store owner was in violation of the Islamic dress code. What was the problem there? Well, the owner of the clothing store had failed to put hijabs on all of the mannequins and had to do so immediately or be arrested. And Atifi says, "This is insane. Hijabs on mannequins." Well, we all know it's Islamic law for all women to wear a veil when they go out publicly. And if they fail to comply with the hijab law, they can be fined, arrested, or lashed. But wait a minute. Help me out here, please. Is there not a distinction between human beings and mannequins? What is a mannequin? A mannequin is a lifeless form of plastic representing a human being that is used to display the latest fashion in store windows. Oh, I get it now. The Islamic Republic of Iran would prefer that all Iranians behave just like mannequins. Well, why? Mannequins don't speak or talk back or protest or whine or complain. These lifeless plastic forms wear whatever you put on them without a complaint, and they stand in the window all day. It seems that image is everything, according to Sharia law. Iranians are supposed to obey without complaint and wear whatever they are told, just like mannequins in the store window. The sad reality to this image is everything scenario is that it reduces real human beings to nothing more than lifeless forms of plastic without hearts and souls. human beings cannot exist under these conditions. They quickly lose all self-worth and self-esteem, and that's exactly what false religion does. False religion robs people of all meaning and purpose in life and reduces them to little more than lifeless forms of plastic or puppets on a string. Well, God didn't create us as lifeless forms or puppets on a string. He created you and me with great value and gave us a heart to discover the beauty of life that surrounds us. He breathed into our souls love, purpose, and creativity to shine like the brilliant colors of the rainbow and to make a difference in a world of suffering and pain. Our lives won't shine very brightly if we are reduced to nothing more than morbid and depressing existence of mannequins in a store window. But image is everything, right? God offers you true hope and healing. The Bible says that he hears the cry of the oppressed and rescues them. You know, I've spent the last 8 years of my life writing the stories of my dear Iranian friends, being their voice. I remember speaking about Sahar 10 years ago when I first got started in this. I had saw a video that changed my life. Everyone on YouTube saw the heart-wrenching murder of Netta Sultan. Netta Sultan was not very politically minded. She didn't protest much. But in the 2009 election, when Ahmadinejad was reelected, Iranians were outraged. They felt that the ballot box had been stuffed. They had put their hopes in a man named Mousavi to be the next president. And instead, there was an overwhelming amount of support for Ahmadinejad. Iranians were outraged. They had put their hopes in Mousavi. They took to the streets. They protested. There was much violence and killing. Now, Netta Sultan knew that. And she was not very political, but she decided, I have to speak for my people. And so Netta got out in the streets, and just that day, in a peaceful manner, she was in an alleyway in Tehran, and a besiege on a motorcycle, that is a government person, on a motorcycle, noticed her, fired one shot into her chest, and you can see on the video, her friends gathered around her, desperately trying to control the bleeding, desperately trying to save her life. They finally lifted her up and carted her away to the hospital in the car where she died. But this video of Netta lying in an alleyway was so overwhelmingly received on YouTube, it went viral within just a few hours. And Netta became the symbol of oppressed Iranian women. It was that video that got me started in what I do today. But just like Netta, Sahar now has taken on a symbol in Iran of women who are banned from games, from seeing a football game. And I believe that my God hears the cries of the oppressed. I can say this with confidence because the Bible teaches that God is a God of justice. There is one particular psalm that I pray every day for my Iranian friends. It's in all of my books. And it is a psalm of hope and promise that God will free the women of the Middle East and restore their dignity to them. And I want to just conclude today's program just quoting this psalm to you. It's Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. You might want to bookmark that and pray along with me and use this beautiful psalm as a springboard of praying for the freedom of my Iranian friends. Psalm 72 says this, "He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him." Sahar is precious to our God. Sahar is a woman that is simply wanting the freedom to watch a soccer match in Iran. Sahar is precious to our dear God. He understands her pain. He understands her mental issues. He understands the desperation and the hopelessness that she felt at the moment she lit the match and set herself on fire. And God's word says that he understands their pain because he became a human being in Jesus and suffered excruciating pain in order to save us from our sin. You know, Jesus was spit upon, mocked, insulted, and betrayed. He understands the evil and the betrayal of my Iranian friends because he experienced all of them. The women of the Middle East are leaving Islam. Do you know that? They're leaving Islam every day because they have found a God who understands their pain and suffering. Jesus is that God. He is not some distant deity far away, disconnected from their pain, but he is a God who is both our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in our time of need. Let's not let Sahar's death be in vain. Let's take up her cause. Let's be her voice. Post every day on Twitter, on Facebook, hashtag Blue Girl, and then talk about her. Share this podcast. Share this radio program. Do your best to be her voice. Let's see that the FIFA will pressure Iran to once and for all get rid of this unjust, discriminatory rule that's against women. Let's stop it, and let's pray that God will honor his promise, that he will hear the cries of his oppressed. It says that their lives are precious to him. Precious. The lives of women like Sahar, the lives of women like Netta, and there's so many others. And so we have a task before us. Please join me in this endeavor to not let Sahar become that name that is somehow forgotten. Let us every day send out prayers for her family. Post her name on your Facebook and share my radio program. Let's be a voice for Iranian women. Let's let them know that we love them and that we care about them and that we stand with them against this unjust, discriminatory rule against them to attend a soccer match and every other rule that diminishes their dignity and worth. Let's stand with them. I want to thank you today for spending time with me on the cross in the desert. I will see you this Thursday as I continue reading from my book, Full Moon Over Loch Ness. You don't want to miss that program. God bless you and have a great week.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I did not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the unchanging grace in every high.